This is Paige Hattie with CBM Connect, and today we are sitting down with Don D'Onofrio, who is a technology leader at the Snell Group. Don began working for the Snell Group in 2002 with the goal of training thermographers on how to conduct electric motor testing. He has been all over the world testing, evaluating, and troubleshooting problems with electric motors and motor circuits. Don has worked on motors rated in ounce inches of torque all the way up to a NASA wind tunnel synchronous motor that is 80,000 horsepower. Today, we're going to speak with Don about the keys to developing an effective motor testing program. Hi, Don. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Perfect. Well, we're going to jump right in. So what role does personal preparation play in starting a motor testing program?
That's probably the one of the most important factors. You need to be ready to test motors and get have an effective program. It takes me probably 20-30 minutes in the evening. I get all of my equipment set up and ready to go and go through it all, make sure everything's charged up, everything's in its place, and that way I hit the ground running when I'm ready to start doing the testing.
Perfect. And have you found, or do you have any examples maybe of how personal preparation or their lack of could impact and make a difference when you're starting a motor testing program?
Well, you know that expression, you learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, starting out in this, and I hate to use the term pioneer, but that's exactly what we were when I went to work for PDMA. We were pioneers. It's one of them deals where you're out there all by yourself. Nobody else has done this before, and you get stuck, and you have to figure it out because there's nobody to call. So that was a learning process. And then, of course, learning from your mistakes. One of the most important things, again, is preparation. You want to make sure that your equipment's ready. You want to make sure that your batteries are charged up. You want to make sure that your computer battery's charged up, that all your power supply cords are free of any nicks or breaks or anything that's going to impede you when you actually get out there and start doing the testing. And believe me, I've made all of those mistakes. Some of your amp probes, they have batteries, and making sure that those batteries are good, making sure that they have equal voltages on the batteries, because that could affect the gathering current by a couple percent. So all of these things I kind of learned the hard way, and I just try to pass that knowledge on to the people that are doing it now.
There you go. That's the best you can do. So are there different perspectives of criticality that someone implementing a new program should be aware of?
Well, criticality is the first thing always is money. How much is it going to cost if this fails? And that could be a fractional horsepower motor could cause a catastrophic failure. For example, you could have a quarter horsepower oil pump motor that's providing lubrication to a 10-20,000 horsepower sleeve bearing motor. That quarter horsepower motor is every bit as critical as that huge high horsepower motor. So that's one perspective. But in general, I tell people that your high voltage frequent start motors should be your highest priority. Motors during start experience the most stress that they do under normal operating conditions. And I also like to say that motors have X number of starts in their life expectancy, and when they reach that, they fail. So motors that are high voltage, medium voltage, frequent starts, those should be a high priority for monitoring. Then you would go with your high voltage continuous run, medium voltage continuous run. Then you go into your low voltage, less than 1,000 volts, motors that have frequent starts. Then your high horsepower, low voltage motors. Variable frequency drive motors, even though drive technology has gotten much better over the years, motors that run off of variable frequency drives still run hotter than motors that run across the line. just by nature of the sinusoid that they produce. It's not as clean as across the line, so they run hotter. Any motors that don't have any redundancy that are critical, those should be a priority as well. And then you also have safety. Maybe a fire pump or something like that should be a high priority. I always recommend that you get all of the functionaries at your facility together, because everybody has a different perspective on criticality. Production, they're going to go by what's going to cost them downtime, what's going to cost them the most downtime. Maintenance, they're going to look at things by how hard is it to accomplish repairs. Planners, they're going to look at it from how much is this going to cost, and how much outside assistance are we going to have to call in to facilitate these repairs. Then you have safety. They're worried about personnel safety. They're worried about environmental issues. Is this going to cause any environmental contamination or something like that? So there's a lot of things that are involved in determining criticality.
All right. Awesome. So then what are some tips that you could suggest for effective equipment testing?
All right. So you can use electric motor test instruments for a number of different purposes. You can test new equipment when it gets installed. So use it kind of like a quality assurance. You can use motor test equipment for diagnostics. The motor's making an abnormal noise, or it's sporadically shutting down, or it's drawing higher current than normal. So you go out and you look at it and see what you can find. The most powerful use of motor testing is through trending, where you go through periodically on a set periodicity and you test these motors. Now, trending is not really trending unless you're doing everything the same way every time. You should have your instrument set up at the same parameters every time you measure. You should test at the same location every time you measure. And another thing that doesn't really have much to do with a tester, it's more of an administrative thing, is you have to have some method of tracking your motors. You should know when you're hooking up to a motor that this is the same motor that you tested 3 months ago. And if you can't make that statement with 100% reliability, then you're not trending. You're just getting a baseline every time. So there has to be some kind of administrative system using either your maintenance software or some other system where every motor that is in your motor monitoring program is documented where it is, where it goes, and when it's coming back, so that you can keep track of everything. And it's not easy to do, but it can be done. One of my old customers was Alcoa in Davenport, Iowa, and they had 5,800 motors that they had in their motor testing program. And within about 10 or 15 minutes coming in the morning, the guy that ran the motor program could tell you where every one of those critical assets was located. So it is something that can be done. It just takes a little bit of time. So that pretty much covers that.
Okay, awesome. So then you touched on it a little bit, but how can reporting, and maybe what reports specifically, can have an impact on the success of a motor testing program?
Unfortunately, I think reporting is probably the most important thing that you do when you do motor testing. That's your deliverable. Whether you're a contractor and you're doing this at different customer facilities all the time, or whether you're in an in-house program, you're going to be evaluated by your reports. That's how you are perceived in your abilities or capabilities, is how much value are your reports providing. You could be the most experienced and best motor tester in the entire world, but if you have inadequate reports, that's how you're going to be judged. So I in particular, and Snell Group, we spend a lot of time in our report preparation, and we make sure that they're thorough, that they're concise, and they're informative. And appearance, again, unfortunately, appearance is important. It needs to be captivating. It needs to be colorful. It needs to be organized. You need to have it in we call it a boilerplate in the Navy, where everything is in the same place on each page. So once you have a customer or even your boss, he starts reading these reports. He knows what's important to him, and he's going to look for that information in the same location on each page. To get the information he needs to make a maintenance decision. So reporting is by far the most important, because that's your deliverable. That's what people see, and that's how they perceive you.
All right, perfect. Well, Dom, before we wrap it up for today, are there any other keys to effective motor testing or anything else that you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, there's several. First of all, you have to have the right equipment. So you need to know what you want to accomplish, and then you need to make sure that you have the proper equipment to accomplish that. There's several different motor tester manufacturers out there, and all of them make good equipment, but all of them have strengths and they all have limitations. So you need to be aware of them and make sure that you have a program that's going to effectively utilize their capabilities and support their shortcomings. So that's important. Then you need to know how to use the equipment. So you should get some kind of vendor training. I don't know. I'm 65, so I'm technologically challenged when it comes to computers and software, and that's one of the hardest things for me to adapt to is software. And when I worked for PDMA Corporation, we used to do training when people would buy a tester, and we'd spend 3 days, and the majority of that time was spent going over software. And that was frustrating to me, because this is an instrument that's used to test motors and diagnose problems, and we're spending most of our time on software. So that's one of the reasons why Snell developed our training program, is so that we can go above and beyond what the vendor training is for the motor tester manufacturers. And so we developed comprehensive training courses that are all of our courses. We have a de-energized electric motor testing course, which is vendor neutral. So you sit that class, you're going to be able to test motors with anybody's test instruments, and you're going to be able to thoroughly analyze the collected data. We have an energized electric motor testing course. That's also 32 hours. Again, we can analyze anybody's test data. It doesn't matter the manufacturer. And then because of demand, we implemented a combined energized and de-energized electric motor testing course, which is also 32 hours. So we saw the need and provided it, but training is essential. I mean, you can have the best equipment in the world. If you don't know how to operate it and you don't know how to analyze the data, it's not doing you any good. So training is an essential ingredient. And then you need to get buy-in from everybody at your facility, and that's going to take time. There's always going to be those that doubt the technology, and that's something you run into. I'm that way. I mean, you're resistant to change. You don't like new things. You like keeping things the way they are. And that's one of the biggest obstacles with this motor testing. I can remember going into places and trying to explain the equipment to them, and I've been doing it this way for years, and I don't need that magic box, they would say. And, but you know, slowly but surely people change. And, so getting people on board and proving the capability of your equipment is also an essential ingredient in having an effective motor testing program. And then working together with other people that have predictive maintenance technologies within your facility. Say, for example, you want to work together with the infrared guys and the vibration analysts and the oil analysts, and collectively use all of that data to determine the problem and also assess the severity of the problem. So I think that pretty much covers it.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you, Don, so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, and thank you.